So over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about finding God's way, and we've been thinking about what that might mean for us in all sorts of different circumstances, in relationships, in family, in marriage, in singleness. And tonight we're summing all of that up and thinking about finding God's way in our lives, finding God's way in Jesus. And it reminded me that the week before I was ordained as a priest, I was on retreat and I went on a walk. And I was remembering this because I was thinking, when I'm thinking about finding God's ways, I think I'm quite literally minded. So when I'm literally on a walk, literally finding a way, I find God has really generously given me that way of kind of connecting with him, of him speaking to me about his ways. So there I was going on a walk, and I was having this great time praying and walking and asking God about his ways. And then I'd worked out on my map the path that I needed to find, which would get me back to the retreat center in time for a cup of tea. The trouble is, when I found this path, I went down it and the signs disappeared, and then the path itself kind of ran out. So I wandered around this field for a while and couldn't find the way I should be going. So I thought I'd just turn back and try again. So I found another path, which I thought might be the right one. And that one seemed to lead me into somebody's garden. And I thought, well, that can't be the right way. So I went back and I tried the original path again. And I literally walked about this entire field trying to find the right direction out of this field. Still nothing. And by this point, I had ruled out the possibility of a cup of tea, and I went back and I tried one more way, and I came to this point where there was like barbed wire and brambles, but the sign appeared to be pointing in that direction. So I thought, well, maybe it's just a little bit overgrown at the start. So I fought my way through these bramble hedges and the barbed wire, scratching myself, thinking maybe it will all clear up soon. Still nothing. It really wasn't a path in any way. So I came back to where I was again, and by this point I was realizing not only might I miss a cup of tea, but I might be not back in time for evening prayer, which is kind of obligatory. So the only way I could guarantee getting back to the right place was retracing my steps and going back exactly the way I came. So I did that at very great speed, trying to find my way back in time. And I did miss the beginning of evening prayer, but I rushed in kind of muddy where I'd been in the field and scratched all over where I'd been bursting through the barbed wire, a bit red-faced because I'd been running, and I got there in time for the psalm set for that day, which was Psalm 139 in this translation, which says this. I joined in my fellow curates. O Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You mark out my journeys and my resting place, and are acquainted with all my ways. And I remember thinking at the time, it's just as well that you are acquainted with all my ways, because I'm not, quite frankly. So the amazing foundational news about finding God's way in our lives is this, that his way, God's way, is turned towards us. If we're lost, he searches us out. He comes towards us. And from this passage in Philippians we've had read out today, this beautiful, ancient, early hymn that Paul is quoting here in his letter, Christ's first move is this. He emptied himself. He took the form of a servant, and he was born in human likeness. God's way, God's route is to leave glory, to leave the glory of deity, the glory of being eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing, and to come towards humanity, to come towards the limits of time, to come towards the limits of earth, to powerlessness, to become human. That is God's way. This is gobsmacking. This is the God that we serve. And R.S. Thomas has expressed this better than I ever could in the poem that you might have received as you came in, that God's way looks like this. R.S. Thomas writes that it looks like the sun looking at earth and saying, can I go there? Can I go there? That is God's way. Today is Advent Sunday. And this is what we are remembering as we come to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And looking back at this passage in Philippians, it doesn't stop with him being born as a human being. He then humbled himself further. And humility comes from the same root of a word, humilis, meaning lowly, which links with humus, with the ground, with earth. God's way is not just to be born, but to go low, to go to the very earth. So there's no place that we might find ourselves in that is outside of the reach of God's way, of God's root. But then, and if you've got this passage open, that would be helpful, on page 1179, we see that there's something even more exciting than that. God is not just born and humbles himself to death on the cross. God's root, looking back at this passage, the root of Jesus, is via us to glory. Jesus' journey to the cross goes through the cross to resurrection. And the resurrection leads to the ascension. And this leads to Jesus' full kingship. It ends with glory not just enjoyed by God the Trinity and held within God the Trinity, but revealed and seen, experienced by everybody, it says here, in heaven and earth and under the earth, every tongue seeing and experiencing the glory of God, this revelation of glory to the whole of his created order. It's this epic kind of revelation. And this is the destination of the journey, its direction. And the invitation that God offers us in Christ is to join him on this whole journey. If this is the journey of Christ, this is the journey that he invites us to join him on. In the letter to the Romans, Paul speaks of the hope that Christians have, our hope of sharing the glory of God. Feels astonishing, doesn't it, that would be his invitation, that we would share in his glory. And later in chapter 8 of Romans, Paul speaks about how this happens. Our adoption in Christ makes us heirs of his glory with him. So his route is towards us, and he meets us. And then, and this is my theological term for describing it, he kind of scoops us into himself along the way and takes us with him through resurrection to glory. The journey for us in Christ ends in this way. And why would God want to share his glory, to share his eternal glory? Because he is love, because he loves us. This morning we had 6 people being baptized or renewing their baptismal vows here behind me. And this going under the water in baptism symbolizes kind of a saying yes to the whole journey, to the whole journey. There aren't shortcuts on Jesus' way. He asks us to take the whole journey with him, to become humble like him, to give ourselves to others. Going under the water of baptism symbolizes dying to ourselves, the small deaths of choosing the interests of others over our own, as this passage puts it, of making this Christ-like movement of love towards others away from ourselves. The way of Christ is cross-shaped, and if we choose to follow him, we're called to follow him in shaping our lives that way too. And then coming up out of the water of baptism symbolizes resurrection into that fullness of life that Jesus promises us. And Jesus spoke about this truth, that those who hold tightly to their own lives will lose them, but those who give up their lives will find them, and will find much more besides. And I feel like there's such truth that we can experience in this. I wonder how many of you have had just a glimpse of this, even if it's only a small one, that when we give ourselves to another person in relationships, in family, in friendship, even to a stranger — we've been talking about some of these things over the last weeks — when we give ourselves to another person, there is dying in that. But I wonder how many of you have also found that there's a living in it as well. There's a new life when we've made that choice and meet another person in that place. I've been reading this book recently, Henri Nouwen's Adam, I think I might have mentioned it here before because it's amazing. And Henri Nouwen, who's this distinguished theologian, joined a L'Arche community, which is a place where disabled and non-disabled people live together. And Henri Nouwen was asked to care for the most seriously disabled man in the house that he comes to. This man didn't have any speech and he couldn't look after himself. And for Henri Nouwen, coming into this new situation, looking after Adam involved a series of small deaths. He was fearful of it. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't feel qualified. And a number of people, like former colleagues, came to him and said, "We need you to be writing more books. That's your gift. That's the gift that God gives you to the world. You haven't got time to write more books because you're caring for this man." But this turned out, this relationship between Henri Nouwen and Adam, this man, turned out to be the most significant transformative relationship of his life. In the deaths he died to himself, he lived to a new life which was immeasurably rich, more joyful than any other relationship, any other situation he had ever lived in. So you could say in a way that he saw a share of Christ's glory. He died a death, but then he was raised, and not just raised, but to raise to this whole new glorious level. So there is no shortcut to this. There is no such thing as resurrection without death. This is the way of Christ. And as human beings, we are spectacularly ill-equipped to choose this way, to die to ourselves. The relationships we've talked about recently in this service sometimes demonstrate this most of all in the friendships, in marriages. The choice to put another person first is really hard work. We are not well cut out of it, despite dying to ourselves being actually giving us the best life that we can have. It doesn't come easily. But I was watching The Hunt recently. If anyone's seen The Hunt, it's the latest Attenborough documentary series. Anyone seen that? Maybe just me. It's great. Yeah. We're going to watch a video, which isn't actually quite the right one. I couldn't find the right one. But what we're going to see is some young guillemots taking their first flight. They have to take their first flight to the sea before their wings are really ready for it. So they are spectacularly ill-equipped for their first flight. So if the video works, we're just going to watch a couple of minutes of this.
Take a few nervous steps towards the edge. Encouraged by a gentle nudge, he leaps into the unknown. Dad follows right behind him, reassuringly calling to his chick. Made it. The landings may not be stylish, but at least they're on target. It's easy to misjudge the distance, and some fall short of the water. But even now, Dad sticks close by. He encourages his chick to take the last few steps towards the safety of the waves.
In this video, it doesn't end so well. But in the video I watched the other day, it's all very encouraging. So did you see that this spectacularly ill-equipped young guillemot with kind of stubby wings that aren't really going to carry him the whole way is followed by his father, calling him behind, encouraging him to go the whole way. I love the way they land in the sea. And then if they don't quite make it, and if they plummet into the ground, who comes down after them? their father comes down after them and finds them on the ground and encourages them on into the right place. And the video I was watching the other day, the fathers are there also fighting off the predators that might come to them on the ground and protecting them so they make it all the way. So they're helped to make a journey that they're not really ready for. So we are ill-equipped for this journey of Christ-likeness. Our wings aren't that big yet, but we're not left alone. We have the accompaniment of Jesus himself, and we have his promise that if we plummet to the ground in that inelegant way, he's coming right down to find us there. The first move of God's way is his move towards us. So if we're having trouble finding God's way, if we get a bit lost, or if we've even plummeted to the ground, the good news is that getting lost is not a disaster. It's never a disaster. And maybe the most important way of finding God's way is just standing up and saying, I need some help. I've got myself a bit lost here. Can you come and find me? His way is to search us out and to find us, which means that if we can take our steps into selflessness with the confidence that he will be in it with us, which will then build up our wings for the next flight and that little bit more for the next flight. Christ-likeness for us, following him in this way, doesn't come quickly, but it will grow. It does grow if we are rooted in the confidence that he is with us on this journey. So really the question is, are we in? Is this a journey we want to be in on? Is Christ's way one you want to trust? Now, as I've said, today is a day full of really rich sign and symbol for All Saints. So baptism, which we celebrated this morning, and communion, which we're going to celebrate this evening, both speak of this journey, this Christ-like journey, and give us a decision about joining it. If you haven't been baptized and would like to be, or would like to reaffirm your baptismal vows, then Jonathan or I would be really delighted to speak to you about making that happen the next time we have a baptism service here. And communion tonight is our choice, is the table laid for us, a way of literally taking into our bodies that way, the journey of Jesus, participating at the level of our cells. Tom Wright says that when Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples what his way was about, what his death and resurrection was about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal. So we're invited to take part in his journey in this physical way, in a way which feeds us in the journey in our whole lives. This is the offer to us on the table here. And we're also going to do something which is a bit like the retracing our steps, which I did when I got lost. So sometimes we all go through times when we get a bit lost along the way. We lose our way in relationships. We lose our way even in our relationship with God. We might be feeling a bit dry or a bit directionless. And in the Bible, the act of remembering is emphasized again and again, kind of retracing our steps to recall how God has brought us this far, how he's got us here. And in a way, that's what Paul is doing here in this letter. He's quoting a hymn. He's quoting, recalling the words of a song that will remind people of the character of God. And if we lose our way, retracing our steps, recalling God's character, perhaps using old familiar ways, verses which were encouraging to us when our faith came alive, even songs which were important to us at stages in our faith development. These can be a way of retracing our steps. An Advent marks the start of a new church year, so we're going to start this new church year with a suggestion and an opportunity to kind of retrace our steps, to redeclare our faith. So some people this morning renewed their baptismal vows, and we're going to take the opportunity, I guess, to stand with them in a way in some of what they did this morning. I'm going to put some words of faith, words of commitment up on the screen, and what I'll do is invite us all to stand, and if you would like to, at the start of this new church year, we'll affirm these words of faith, these words of commitment, a reminder of who God is and what he's done together, as a way of retracing our steps, of wanting to fall into step with God on his way. And if it's helpful to you to kind of mark this, to mark what you've done as with an outward sign, on your way to receive communion, if you want to dip a hand into this baptismal water here and to sign yourself with the cross of Christ, to thank him for his way towards us and to receive his invitation to join him in his way, then please do that. Take the opportunity while the pool's here. So God's way is towards us, to be with us where we are and to accompany us as we try to live in his way, to be with us when we fall and to bring us with him to resurrection, to new life. So he holds out his hand to invite us to join him on his way. Can I invite you to stand? And these words are going to come up on the screen. And if they are words that you'd like to share in, please do declare the words in bold. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And some questions about, I guess, declaring our intention, our way. I'll give you a moment to just look at these and see if they're words you want to echo, and then I'll ask you the questions. The response, if you want to join in when we come to it, is, with the help of God, I will. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer? Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Again, I'll give you a moment to look at this slide. Will you seek and serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbour as yourself? Will you acknowledge Christ's authority over human society by prayer for the world and its leaders, by defending the weak, and by seeking peace and justice? May Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, that we may all be rooted and grounded in love and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in this new church year. Amen. Before we move into communion, we're going to respond in song. Jonathan and Rachel would like to come up. And do see communion as your invitation to say yes to the whole journey of Jesus and to ask him for the strength that you need to follow it this week, in the week ahead, and in the year to come.